You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Wow, what a service to speak about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's many services that hold many a weighty presence on it. But to take a moment to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think is one of the most weighty sermons to actually address. Amen. Because today we take a moment to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We take a moment to stop and recall His love for us. How He was beaten, how He was spat at, how He was dragged, how He was ridiculed, how He was belittled. The Son of God, the one that spoke light and there was light. The one that spoke, let the waters be divided, and it was divided. The one that spoke, let trees be formed and forests and flowers and steel and metals, is now at a place where wood would be the place where He has to found Himself to be crucified for us. The very object He spoke into being. I think at any moment Jesus could have said, wood disintegrate. And that wood would have disintegrated. At any moment, He could have said, steel, disintegrate. And that steel could have disintegrated. The greatest thing is Jesus could at any moment say that those that were persecuting Him disintegrate and they would have disintegrated. The power of our God, the power of His love, kept Him in the place of sacrifice. A crown of thorns was placed on His head. And His hands were, and His feet were nailed to the cross. The cross never kept Jesus. That wood didn't keep Jesus on the cross. Jesus kept Himself on the cross. Amen. At any moment He could have said, this is enough. And He could have called down legions of angels. But Jesus decided in His heart, He purposed in His heart, that His love for you would be more than anything that He had to pay. Crowd that once screamed, Hosanna, blessed be the one, He who comes in the name of the Lord. That same crowd stood around Him crying, crucify Him, crucify Him. The same crowd that took palm leaves and laid it before Him a week earlier, took off their robes, laid it before Him a week earlier, had their hands in the air and anger in their hearts screaming for His death. We see the cross and the deep agony that must have gone through the heart of Jesus for His people. What a moment to remember. The crosses on the stage today is a great reminder of what today is all about. Amen. We remember many things that Jesus said on a day like this. We remember Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Father, forgive them. Forgive those offending and the offender, for they don't know what they do. We remember Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? We remember Jesus saying to the prisoner on His side, today you will be with me in paradise. We remember Jesus saying to His mother and to His disciples, dear woman, here is your son and here is your mother. In that moment of agony, we see the heart of Jesus reaching out to His mom and saying, I know you've raised me for a time such as this, but even in you raising me in a time such as this, I can imagine the pain that must be going through your heart. Amen. One of the greatest things Jesus said is when He said, I'm thirsty, He was fulfilling the messianic prophecy in Psalm 69, verse 21. Jesus also said, it is finished. When it was done, what had to be done, amen. And one of the most beautiful things that our Jesus said is, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. How many times in our lives do we cry out, Father, forgive them? For they know not what they do. How many times in our lives do we go, Jesus, I thirst for you and for your name and for your presence. How many times in our lives do we look at things and we've paid the price to say it is finished? How many times in our lives do we say, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. I commit my soul. I commit my body. Are you with me this morning, church? You see, we treasure and honor all these moments on the cross. But today we're going to glean a truth hidden in Passover, amen? If you know today, Children's Church is having the Passover supper. The whole Children's Church is prepared with tables, and there's leaves, and there's a whole enactment today. We're taking your children on a journey. But sometimes we forget where Jesus' journey started. And yes, we don't take away one moment from the moment on the cross, but his journey actually started at the Last Supper, where he says to his disciples, I want to go and eat Passover with you. You know, Smith Wigglesworth says that the Last Supper is the time when creation passed under the glorious covering of the blood. Amen? The question this morning is, do we understand the true meaning of Passover? Do we understand the true meaning of the Last Supper? Do we understand and glean the truths that Jesus has in that moment? You see, during the Passover, the Jews would look back and remember the greatest deliverance from Egypt. They would remember the angel of death passing by. And they would remember them being freed from bondage. Today, let us take time, sometime today, just to remember what God has taken us through. What bondage he has set us free from. How he has been there for us. God has been there for us more than what we could ever imagine. I think if we get to heaven one day and we see all the times that God has actually protected us, actually looked out for us, actually was saving us from ourselves, we would be so surprised and so overwhelmed by the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. During Passover, no leaven was allowed in the house. Amen. And leaven was actually something used to make bread rise, right? So they had a little ceremony in the house called the search for leaven. Today we have Easter eggs and bunnies that we go and hide for our children. Amen. Those that do that, Easter hunt, and we make it all about chocolate and Easter bunnies. But in those days, it had a spiritual meaning. It was the cleansing of leaven in the house. So the children would have to go through the house and look if there's any leaven in the house. Because on Passover, no leaven could be in the home. Amen? And while the ceremony of cleansing was going on in these homes, while the children were looking for leaven to get rid of the leaven in the home, leaven was growing in the heart of a disciple called Judas. He was not taking time to clear out his home. He was not taking time to get rid of the leaven. He was not taking time to get something out of his life that could potentially grow to be bigger than Jesus Christ himself. Amen, church? So, I think in Judas's heart, this leaven had been growing for a long time. Twice in Scripture, we see where it says Satan has entered his heart. This morning, can we take time to see which leaven is in our homes, in our hearts, not in our physical homes, in our hearts? What has become bigger in our hearts? What has become more important in our hearts? What is growing in our hearts that shouldn't be there, that God maybe doesn't want us to have there? Amen? You see, so during Passover, they looked back to remember the goodness of God in saving them from the angel of death, from Egypt, from bondage. The second thing, they cleared their home of leaven. And the third thing is, blood had to be shed to bring life. Remember when the angel of death passed by, he could not go into a home that had the blood of Jesus around the lintel of the door. This morning, can I ask you, do you have the blood of Jesus around the lintel of your door? Do you have the blood of Jesus around the lintel of your children's door? The blood of Jesus around your business? You see, on the 10th day of the month, a lamb was selected. And I've spoken about this in a previous sermon. A lamb was selected, and this little lamb was taken into the home to live with the family for 4 days until day 14. And in this time, this family loved this lamb. They got to spend time with this lamb. But this lamb's purpose was to take their sins upon itself. So on the 14th day, the family had to take this lamb to the temple to be slaughtered. This lamb had to be roasted and it had to be eaten. This very lamb that lived in their home. So with the number of people that they estimated to be in Jerusalem around that time, 256,000 lambs were slaughtered in a 2-hour period between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. Can you imagine? 256,000 lambs had to take on the sins of families around Jerusalem. This means that 2 lambs had to be slaughtered per minute. Per minute. The most profound thing about this moment, especially around this time, is over this Passover, this specific one where Jesus died. Do you know Jesus died between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m.? When lambs were being slaughtered in the temple, the ultimate sacrifice was being presented to the Father to pay the price for our sin. Can you imagine? Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? At the very time where 256,000 lambs were trying to pay the price for a family, just for a small season, because they'd have to do it again, the ultimate lamb was paying the price once and for all our sins. That never again would a lamb have to be sacrificed for a family, because the ultimate lamb had been sacrificed. Amen. The beautiful thing about Jesus dying at the same time is Jesus understood times and seasons. And Jesus also understood the schedule of heaven. This morning, I want to ask you, do you understand times and seasons? And do you understand the schedule of heaven? Because in our walk with, as Christians, there are times where we have to sacrifice. And there are times when we have to walk with Jesus. And we cannot expect Jesus Christ to have carried a cross like this, and we don't. Because are we greater than our master, church? Jesus took the hard way, but we take the easy way so many times. Jesus took the way of death, the way of sacrifice. And sometimes when Jesus comes and asks us to sacrifice, and that could be anything, we say, no, Lord, I'm not ready. Do you not understand me? I don't like being uncomfortable. Amen? So let us read Luke 22, verse 7 to 38. Amen? I'm just going to read it as I speak to you because it makes it easier for the time frame. This is the Last Supper, the last Passover Jesus had with his disciples. And this is where my sermon came from today, because I asked the Lord, what about this time would you like to highlight in my heart and in our lives today? And the Lord showed me something so beautiful that I've never seen before. So it says in verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Now, Jesus sends Peter and John to prepare the Passover. Luke is the only gospel that actually gives us the names of the disciples that Jesus sends. Amen. I love the book of Luke. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And they were actually the logical choice because they were pretty much the inside circle. They were, Peter and John also were the two disciples that ran to the tomb when the woman came and said that Jesus is alive. Peter and John with James were also when Jairus' daughter, when Jesus only took 3 people in. Do you remember these stories, church? So Peter and John were the logical choice. And Jesus says to them, please go and prepare a place for us. And Peter and John asked Jesus, where do you want us to prepare us? Wouldn't that be the obvious next question? And Jesus replies, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of that house, The teacher asks, "Where is the guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. All furnished. He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. And go and make preparations there. So he sends them into Jerusalem to go find a place for the Last Supper called Passover and to celebrate Passover. And one would think, how do you go into thousands of people and find a man with a pitcher of water on his shoulders to be able to ask him, have you ever thought of this? It was, imagine if 256,000 lambs were slaughtered over that time. How many people were in Jerusalem? And Jesus says to these disciples, go into Jerusalem and find a man who has a water pitcher on his shoulders, and he's going to take you to the upper room. Doesn't make sense. Amen. How many times does Jesus ask us to do things that doesn't make sense? But we need to trust him just like Peter and John trusted him. Because you see, in those days, it would be very easy to see a man with a jar on his shoulders because it wasn't the men's work to carry the jars. Some man had to be there carrying a jar of water, predestined by Jesus for that moment. Amen? We see this at the Samaritan woman. At the well, she was going to draw water. Do we see that in the Old Testament when Rebecca was drawing water for the camels? So it wasn't the norm for a man to be carrying a pitcher of water on his shoulders. And Jesus says, Peter and John, just trust me. And imagine in that moment, they must have thought, what? How? Jesus, how are we even going to find a man with a pitcher of water on his shoulders? Amen? And Jesus says, just trust me. Just trust me. Because remember, Jesus is always on schedule, he's always on time, and he's perfect in everything that he does. And Peter and John go and they find this man in between thousands and thousands of people, and they go make the preparations for Passover, which meant they had to take the lamb that was with them to the temple, go slaughter the lamb, go and take the lamb back to the upper room, go and prepare the lamb with bitter herbs and wine and bread, unleavened bread for the Passover. Prepare all of this for the meal. And the next verse says in verse 14, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. So they've prepared this meal. We're going on a journey. The disciples have gone into Jerusalem. They found this one in a million guy with a pitcher of water on his shoulders. They've gone to his upper room. And to be in the upper room of a home, it had to be a very wealthy home. Amen. Some people actually think it was John Mark's home. But they go to the upper room in verse 15 and he says to them, I have eagerly desired with a fervent desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This is my scripture for today. Before Jesus goes to suffer, he says, I have eagerly desired with a fervent desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. If you knew this was your last day on earth, how would you spend it? Better, if you knew this was your last day on earth, with who would you spend it? Jesus says, I eagerly desire and fervently want to spend my last day with you before my suffering. When we look at the life of Jesus, we have a record of his last days. We have a record of his crucifixion. We have a record of his resurrection. We have a record of his going up to heaven. But we also have a record of his last moments, who he desires to spend time with. And guess what? It was his disciples. He knew he was going to suffer. He knew he was going to die. But he still had a fervent desire to be with his people. You see, the one thing he wanted to do before facing death was to spend time with some imperfect followers. If this was your last day, would you spend time with some imperfect followers? You see, Jesus is omniscient. That big word just means that he knows everything. So Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew every reaction, what was going to happen. He knew every heart's desire. He knew every motive of every disciple sitting in the room. And yet he said, I'm going to take time to spend time with a doubter. I'm going to take time to spend time with a betrayer. I'm going to spend time with a liar before I leave for the greatest suffering of my life. You see, this is a reminder that Jesus longs to spend time with us. Because in this room today, there's a Peter, a James, a John. There's a doubter. There's a believer. All of them left Jesus at the cross. And Jesus knew it. But Jesus says, it's my fervent desire to spend my time with you before my suffering. Wow. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Could you spend time with those that are going to deny you, betray you, walk away from you on the day of your suffering? Amen. So after this, Jesus takes the cup and he gives thanks. And this is where we're going to do communion later today. He gives thanks and he says, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And in verse 19, he takes the bread and he says, and he gives thanks and he breaks it and he gives it to you. And he says, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then after that, the scripture says, in the same way, he takes the cup and he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which was poured out for you. And we often just overread these things so quickly. But you see, Jesus didn't ask to be remembered by a huge temple being erected or a huge statue or his name on a building. Jesus wanted to be remembered through the communion, through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, a meal. You see, in the Passover meal, there were actually four cups, glasses of wine that was presented in the Passover. The first one you would drink as the cup of sanctification. And that comes from Exodus where it says, I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Okay? The host would then bless the Lord and give his blessing to those for the Passover meal. So that's the first cup. Later on, the second cup would be enjoyed. This is the cup of deliverance from plagues and judgment. That comes from Exodus where it says, I will deliver you. You see, the host would retell the story of Passover and the judgment that fell on Pharaoh and the Egyptians. After this, the host would break the bread and he would dip it in the bitter herbs, speaking of the bitter bondage they went through. Then the lamb would be eaten. And while they were reclining, that means they were laying on their left side so that they could use their right side to eat the food and to drink the wine. We know that John was actually sitting on Jesus' right side because it said he laid on Jesus' bosom, right, on his chest. And the left side was actually Judas. And we see this and we read this and we think, okay, this is great. John sat on the right and Judas sat on the left. But if you look at history, you see that the host, those were two very privileged positions next to the host. And Jesus himself chose John and Judas to sit next to him. Think of that for a moment. Jesus chose John and Judas to sit next to him, to eat the meal. Jesus chose the betrayer to sit in the most privileged position at his Last Supper. Would you choose your betrayer to sit in your most privileged position? This is the heart of God, because we can only love like Jesus if we have Jesus in our hearts. We can only do that with the love of God in our hearts. It's not possible to do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot love a betrayer without the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot love someone that's going to deny us and actually cause us to go to our death without the love of Jesus in our hearts. And maybe today somebody can't deny you or betray you or send you to your death. But you know what? Many times these people around us are deniers, betrayers, and send us to our emotional death. Can you love those? Do you want to really be like Jesus? So after this cup, the third cup came. And this was the cup of redemption and blessing. And that comes from the Exodus scripture that says, I will redeem you. And there's only one place in the Bible that mentions this, and that is when Jeremiah speaks where God will take the law written on stone and I'll write it in our hearts. Are you ready to change a written script on stone and have the Son of God write it on your heart this morning? Are you ready for Jesus to take his blood and to write his will on your heart? Are you ready for the blood of Jesus to do what the blood of Jesus can do? Or do you still think you're more in control than what you need to be? Because you see, to love like Jesus, we need the blood of Jesus written on our hearts. To see like Jesus, we need the blood of Jesus to be covering our eyes. To hear what Jesus hears, we need the blood of Jesus over our ears. To do what Jesus needs to do, we need the blood of Jesus over our feet. Where we're going, church. Are you with me this morning? We need the blood of Jesus. You see, this night was the end of the old covenant and the Old Testament. And this was the beginning of a new covenant. Only God could end the old covenant. And only God could cancel the old covenant and give us a new one. Amen? Amen? You see, the fourth cup that they drank during the Passover was the cup of praise, the cup of hope, the cup of the kingdom. And that's from Exodus where it says, I will take you for my people to remember you and for your deliverance. You see, John 13 verse 4 says, Jesus did something very profound in this moment. He's coming to the Passover. He's sitting with his disciples. They're having the Passover. They're drinking the cups. They're eating the slaughtered lamb. They're dipping the bread in the bitter herbs. All of this has resemblance. But then Jesus does something so profound in his last moment. John tells us that Jesus decides to take off his outer cloth, wrap it around his middle, and not just serve his people or be with his people. He got down on his knees and he washed their feet. How is this possible? How could love be so deep? Amen. In that moment, we actually see Peter having his moment again. No, no, Lord, you will not wash my feet. You know, Peter has to just have his little say there as well. Amen. But we're not going to go into that today. But Jesus demonstrated servant leadership. That you love despite anything. That you serve despite anything. Amen. And then after that, he says, but the hand of him who is going to betray me is at the table. This is in verse 21 of Luke that I've been reading at the moment. So Jesus washes his feet and he says, but the hand of the person that's going to betray me is around this table. And the Son of Man will go up as it's been decreed, and woe to the man who has betrayed him. And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be that would do this. They began to question who would it be. This tells us that they really didn't suspect Judas. Even though Judas was there when the lady came and poured the oil on Jesus' feet, and he stood up and he said, why are you using this oil to anoint his feet? We could use this oil to go and feed the poor. Maybe they saw that as an amazing moment and Jesus was seeing it as something wrong. Amen. They didn't know. Luckily, actually, they didn't know. I wonder what Peter would have done if he knew Judas was the one sitting at that table, ready to betray Jesus. If he cut off an ear in the garden, can you imagine what he would have done to poor Judas? Amen. Maybe the grace of God was there that no one saw that it was Judas, especially Uncle Peter. Amen. Hallelujah. But Judas shows us something so profound. He shows us that we can be close to Jesus physically, but spiritually very far from him. That we can know about Jesus. We can live with Jesus. We can walk with Jesus for 3 years. We can see every miracle. We can see every parable being told. We can see every deliverance, everything that Jesus is, and still not love him. Amen? What a profound thought to think about. Judas was next to Jesus in his final moments. Jesus had given him the seat of honor. But in Judas' heart, He didn't see Jesus as divine. He saw him as a quick way of making some cash. Do we sometimes see Jesus as a quick way of making cash? Amen? May God have mercy on us. Amen. So a dispute arises between the disciples. Yeah, we've gone through the Passover. We're having supper. Jesus has washed the feet. We're dipping the bread in the bitter herbs. Jesus said, someone is going to betray me. And like just human beings, a dispute jumps out in the room. And guess what the disciples are disputing? Let me read verse 24. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them would be considered the greatest. And Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be that the person that serves. The greatest among you. He says, for who is greater? The one who is at the table or the one who serves? He says, is it not the one at the table? But I'm among you as one who serves. Can you imagine? Jesus chooses these bunch of people to spend these final moments with. And he says, I fervently desire to spend this time with you, to spend my Passover with you before I go to my suffering. Again, Jesus emphasizes servant leadership. Are you with me this morning, church? Can you serve those around you? Can you wash the feet of those that can betray you? Can you be the least of all? Because in the kingdom of God, it's not the up, down. It's from down up. It's from down up. The greatest privilege we can have as Christians is to be a servant. The greatest privilege in this church as pastors is to serve you, is to serve Jesus Christ with you as first among equals. Amen? So for love to be true love, it has to be vulnerable. Jesus' love was demonstrated in his vulnerability with his disciples. Jesus knew he would be betrayed. He knew his love for Judas would be rejected. Jesus knew everything that sat in the heart of Judas Iscariot, and he picked him anyway. Oh, I don't understand this love, church, but that is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us today. You see, allow your failures to be your instructor, not your undertaker. Allow your failures to teach you, to be your instructor, not to be the death of you. Amen? I'm coming in for a landing. I'm glad that Paul was human, a human being. And I'm glad that Peter was a human being. And I'm glad that Daniel was a human being. And I'm also glad that John was a human being. Why? Because I see that whatever God has done for other people, he can do for me. Amen? Whatever God has done for a Peter, a James, a John, a Daniel, an Esther, a Deborah, a David, a Paul, God can do for me. Amen? Because I'm a human being too. And God chose to spend his final days before suffering with imperfect people like you and I. And you know what? The grace and the love he's given them is the same grace and love he has for us today. Amen? Amen? You see, God has done such beautiful things for other people. And I'm always expecting that those beautiful things will happen to me. You can do the same. If God loved a Peter, a John, a Judas, if God loved them despite their failures, beside their setbacks, beside their flaws, Jesus can love you. And he does. He loves you with an everlasting love. Jesus took time to spend time with imperfect people who he knew would make mistakes. That makes it possible for me. Amen? Because man, I'm going to make some mistakes. But the blood of Jesus is going to be there, amen? And you are going to maybe make some mistakes, and the blood of Jesus is going to be there, amen? And a mistake is not the end. Because as long as you keep the leaven, the thing in your heart, the thing that will become too big, too large, out of your heart, Jesus can still occupy space. Amen. You see, Jesus chose the cross. The cross didn't choose Jesus. As Jesus chose time to spend with his disciples, this morning he's asking you, can he spend time with you? As Jesus chose to spend time with his disciples in his time of suffering, church, Jesus is asking you today, will you spend time with me in your time of suffering? We all go through suffering. We on this earth. We will be in eternity one day where there'll be no suffering, where there'll be no pain, there'll be no disappointment. But while we're on earth, can we choose the cross? Can we choose the cross? Can we choose to put Jesus in the center of our lives? This is what today is all about. This is what the crucifixion is all about. Where Jesus took time in his suffering to choose you. Siela.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.